Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
Well, something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirt, no shoes,
no dice.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Whoa. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CanCast episode number 167. I am Cheap ED, and I am in Tokyo, Japan.
And I am Wombat, and I am in Massapequa.
Massapequa, the exotic locale that everybody dreams of visiting at least once in their lifetime.
You're just jealous because you're not in Massapequa.
I've been to Massapequa. I don't remember it being that exciting.
It's lovely this time of year.
What's so lovely about it?
Why, the streets are all gray with summer grayness.
Of course.
Uh-huh. There's not nearly as much trash in the streets as there usually is.
not nearly as much.
Not still, nearly.
Still some trash. Anyway, Wombat, speaking of summer, we took a summer vacation last week.
Yes, you and I did. Although I was crazy busy. And you were what? I don't even know what you do.
What was my reason for not doing... Oh, I had a really lame excuse for not doing a show last week. It was because Mrs. Cheapy starts her month and a half vacation from work between jobs. And that was like her first... Wednesday was her first day off. And I just didn't want to sit in a room all day and do the show. So that was my... And then I think that was the only day that we could do it last week because you had stuff... You had your wife's and daughter's birthday.
Yes, they were both on Wednesday. They were both born the same day, different years.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. I remember the day my daughter was born quite well, so... Yeah, right. It was a good time. I got my wife a netbook.
Oh, what kind?
The new HP with the
How's
new
that?
Processor.
Pretty
she
good.
Likes it very much.
It's an amazing that how cheap those things are. I mean, they work fine. And they're like, how much was it? Like $300?
That is how much it was, yes.
It's amazing that you can, and it's like, they're tiny. They're incredibly small.
They're
and light,
incredibly
and
they, small. It's great because she uses, you know, she like just literally carries it around the house with her.
Yeah, I mean, I have that Acer Aspire one that I got, and I think it was around the same price. And yeah, look, you're not going to play any games on it or anything, but for surfing the internet and, you know, word
for
processing.
For uploading 108 party photos to your Facebook page, yeah, do that.
Yeah, I saw some of those pictures. That was quite an elaborate... Was it a dual party for the daughter and wife?
No, it was really just for the daughter.
I see.
So... But sure, why not? It was a dual party. Now, it was definitely a good time. There's about 50 people in my backyard.
Right. We had 70 people at my wedding, so you had almost as many people at the one-year birthday party.
Well, it was just in my backyard, and all it was you know, a barbecue. It just, you know, you invite some people, then you have to invite other people, and then the next thing you know, there's 50 people in your backyard.
Right.
The winner, of course, is Sabrina, who has so much new toys, so many new toys.
Right.
That we have some in the package stored away. So when she gets bored with her current toys, then we can pull out something as if it's new.
That's a smart move.
So, yeah, like we have toys in storage for a later date.
That is awesome.
She has two cars. Did I mention that my daughter has two cars?
What do you mean cars?
Like two big pink cars she could ride in, two different kinds.
Like battery powered?
No, they're not.
Like
she's not
powder.
Quite old enough for that.
So like Flintstone style.
Yes, they are Flintstone style cars.
That's awesome. I mean, speaking of toys, I went to Babies R Us this week. Was last week because you know Mrs. Cheapy's off now. We you know, and Ty goes to daycare, so we went to the mall, our local mall, and we did two things. One is we saw the new Harry Potter movie.
I really want to see it, so don't tell me anything.
It was boring. It was very boring.
Okay,
it was very long.
That you could tell me.
And, I mean, just like nothing happens. They just like, let me explain to you, what was it called? Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. This is the whole plot of the movie. Harry Potter and friends have now reached puberty and are horny. And they all want to hook up with each other, But they don't, you know, because it's like a, you know, it's a kids movie, they only just sort of make out, and it's not really a make out. And there's love potions, and...
And fellatio. Don't forget the fellatio.
Magical fellatio. There's a new spell, you know, that they have. Fellatio!
That's it. Fellatiitis, fellatiotis.
I need to learn that, actually. Where can I get that spell book?
You have to wait for your anniversary for the coupons.
I need a wand for the next anniversary. I don't know. It's just really boring and really long. And in Japan, like, they're very frugal with the air conditioning. Even in, like, a shopping mall. You know how you go into any shopping mall in America in the summertime and it's 60 degrees in there? And in the movie theater, it's probably 50 degrees. It was, yes, like, I was sweating in the movie theater. This is like a brand new movie theater. And I was literally sweating through the 2.5 hour movie. In fact, we did, Mrs. Chibi and I did an Audio Boo mini podcast movie review. And towards the end of the review, I was complaining that it was hot in the theater. And Mrs. Chibi was complaining that it was smelly in the theater. And then she realized that it was probably, she was smelling me. And that's why it was smelly, because I was sweating.
Giant white man smells like poo.
Smells like poo. So I don't know. It's hard to recommend that movie. But the best part was after the movie, we went to Babies R Us. And they had this, I was just looking around, not really, you know, just killing time. And I saw this train set, this motorized Fisher-Price Geotrax train set. It's like a huge box. Thing looked like it weighed like 15 pounds or something. And it had a 1,000 yen price tag on it, which is 10 bucks. And I'm like, there's no way that this is 10 bucks. I mean, this thing looks like it's some serious hardware there. It's, you know, motorized train set with remote control and action figures and all this shit. So I look it up on my iPhone on Amazon America, and the thing sells for like 100 bucks. So I was like, I don't know. I mean, I'll give it a shot. And I took it up to the register, and it was 10 bucks. So I bought it, and Ty loves it. And even the expansion sets were cheap. It's sort of like a famous toy, I think, Fisher-Price
Geotrax. It is. The Geotrax are kind of cool. And that's a much better story than my Toys R Us experience from over the weekend.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and tell it while I open the door, because I'm sweating.
Okay, then. So, can you even hear me? So, we got, for the birthday for the baby, like I mentioned, two cars. Well, we actually wound up getting three cars, but two of them were the same. And it was shipped to the house directly from ToysRUs.com. And what ToysRUs.com does when they ship a large item, instead of including a packing slip, they actually stick the receipt, which is a sticker, onto the box. And that's supposed to make it easier for returns.
Okay.
It sounds like a good idea in theory. Another thing we got two of the same Little People set. But we had a gift receipt for one of those. So we go to the Toys R Us, and I put both, and the car box is huge. And I bring it up to the counter, and they look at the box, and they look at the receipt that's stuck to it, and the woman scans it, and nothing happens. And the woman goes, I'm scanning this, nothing happens. I need a real receipt. We're not going to take this back.
But that's the only receipt you get.
And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, no receipt, we can't take it back. And I'm telling this to the woman. I'm like, this is a receipt. And she goes and gets the manager. And the manager comes and looks at the box and goes, yep, nope, this isn't a receipt. We're not taking it back. I'm like, it is too easy. He goes, nope, you see this? It says $0.00. If there's no dollar amount on it, it's not a real receipt.
Because it was a gift receipt,
that's
right?
What I said. I'm like, you mean a gift receipt? He goes, you know, our policy, and he points to the sign above him, and he goes, no receipt, no return. And I look, I mean, yes, but right next to that one, it says, we accept all gift receipts.
Isn't it fun when you have to go to a store and you have to explain to the people how to do their jobs?
And they're scanning, and nothing's happening. And then they took the other one with the other receipt. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The other receipt was the same sticker, but it was still on the piece of paper. You know, it just wasn't removed and stuck on the box.
Okay.
And that scanned right away and went through. And I'm looking at the receipt, and I'm looking at the one on the box, and that's when it occurred to me what they hadn't done yet and why it wasn't working. When you go to, I mean, I know you haven't been to a supermarket in a long time, but when you go to the supermarket and they take the item and they scan it, and it doesn't scan, and then they try it, and it doesn't scan again, what does the person behind the counter at the supermarket do next?
First of all, we have supermarkets in Japan.
I know, but you know, I don't
so
see.
So they call them. They do price check on.
They don't have
tampons.
They don't even do that anymore. They look at.
They
the,
type it in.
Exactly. What didn't they do with the Toys R Us?
They didn't bother typing it in.
And I go, look at this receipt. And I have the one on the piece of paper. And I go, look at that one. This one has a 12-digit number. That one has a 12-digit number. Have you tried typing in the 12-digit number? And then goes, the woman actually looked at me and goes, that's not going to work. But if you want to read it, I'll type it in.
Don't you want to just punch the person in the face when they say something like that?
And then she typed it in, and the price came up with the package, with the item. And she was like, oh, that worked. And the manager got so mad at being wrong that he walked away.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? I mean, that's why I would have a hard time moving back to America, because shit like that. In Japan, people aren't, I'm not saying that people are like fucking brilliant here and that they would, you know, they wouldn't make a mistake like that. But when they, you know, when you do point out a mistake, they recognize that it's a mistake and they're like embarrassed and they, you know, they bow and they say a million times that they're sorry. And, you know, and in America, when that happens, people are embarrassed and then they feel like an asshole and they get mad at you because you just told them how to do their job.
And it was, and it's not like the sticker didn't say Toys R Us on it in big letters. It's not like I was trying to cheat them out of an item.
Which Toys R Us was this?
This was one in Massapequa Park.
Okay, so to the Toys R Us in Massapequa Park, we give you the big keg. Fuck you.
Yeah, it pretty much sucked, and I was mad, and then I felt so redeemed because I really got mad because I did not want to lug this gigantic box back home. After lugging it to the Toys R Us.
I know that working retail is not an easy job, and it's, you have to deal with a lot of jerk-offs and stuff, but come on. I mean, I'm sure you were very polite and all. And
I was, and after I said thank you very much, I didn't mean to get heated. It's just, you know, I didn't understand why this was taking so long and blah, 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 blah. And I was, and I can be very nice, and I usually am, but I can be. They really got on my nerves.
Ugh, that's so annoying, dude.
It's just, you scan it, it doesn't scan, you scan it again because it doesn't go through, then you type in the number.
Yeah, well, you come to Japan someday, we'll go to an electronics store, and you'll just, like, be standing somewhere in an aisle, and if you look like you need help, you know, you put your hand up or something, somebody will come running up to you to help you.
Yeah. I mean, got a new TV this opposite. Weekend also.
What's that?
Got a new TV also.
What?
Not for the living room, for the bedroom.
What do you need a TV for the bedroom for?
Because I watch TV in the bedroom occasionally.
Oh, what kind of TV did you get?
A cheap one.
No.
Yeah, 26-inch Insignia LCD.
Insignia?
Insignia. That's the Best Buy house brand.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, put it this way, the netbook cost more.
Okay. Very nice. Oh, speaking of movies, Wombat. I've done a lot of media watching, and I think this is stuff that you would be interested in. Okay, so we watched The Watchmen.
I haven't seen it. How is it?
I was expecting it to be terrible because, I don't know, I think all the, I mean, I don't know if I ever read like a full review of it, but I don't know, just from all the word of mouth and everything, I heard it was very long and boring. But I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, there was a lot of action in it. There's a lot of violence and slow motion karate, and I mean, that's all you need. It has a lot of style. I thought it was great, and Mrs. Cheapy liked it too, so I don't know why people were complaining. I mean, yeah, it was on the long side, but I liked everything about it. I really liked it. So we didn't watch the director's cut because I figured the regular cut was long enough. But I don't know. It's an easy movie to recommend. I mean, there's a lot of ass-kicking and gratuitous violence, and I can't remember. I think there's even a little nudity in there.
Can't go wrong with a little nudity. Isn't there Wang? Lots of Wang?
There's a lot of Blue Wang.
Big Blue Wang.
Mr. Billy Dr. Crudup? Manhattan.
Yeah.
Dr. Wang. And I just, yeah, it's Dr. very Wang. Distracting. When you see that, his Blue Wang swinging around, it's very distracting, and I don't really understand why the guy can't wear some shorts. Or even, you know, he wears clothing at some, you know, when he goes out to like an important function, he wears like a suit. So why can't he just wear shorts? I mean, is it really like that restrictive to him? Like he can't do his experiments and stuff if he's wearing shorts?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not wearing anything right now and I can fully relate to where he's coming from.
Are you developing a new form of energy reactor?
I am forming a new form of entertainment and that's why, you know, my Ju-Wang needs to hang out.
I understand. Well, anyway, we like that. And I, on your recommendation,
someone
I started
threw up.
Yeah, that someone was me, by the way.
Yeah, you too.
On your recommendation, I started watching Burn Notice, the TV show.
And?
It's entertaining. You know, it's not... It's silly, you know? It's like a silly show, but it's a good type of show if you just want to watch something that, you know, you don't have to give it your full undivided attention. Like, when I watch True Blood, you know, I turn the lights off and, you know, I got my popcorn and, I'm, you know, me and Mrs. Cheapy just focused on that. But, you know... Burn Notice, you know, I can have Ty running around playing and stuff, and it's entertaining. I mean, it's like it's just like the A-Team, right?
Yeah, it's a lot like the A-Team.
It's like the A-Team, except there's one guy, one spy helping people out instead of four army guys, and my parents don't stop me from watching this show. So those are the two differences.
Your parents wouldn't let you watch the A-Team?
I was not allowed to. I was not allowed to watch the A-Team, and I was supposed I was told not to watch Dukes of Hazzard, but I watched that anyway. A-Team, you know, I didn't really like the A-Team. I
love the A-Team. My dad and I used to watch the A-Team together, so...
Yeah, I think my mom must have saw, like, some TV show that said that those shows were bad to watch. But, you know, I remember, like, Dukes of Hazzard because they, you know, they defy the authority all the time, like the cops. They're always on the run from the cops. But it was so stupid. A-Team, I thought was sort of stupid because, like, there's a lot of people shooting each other and no one ever gets shot.
You don't know entertainment from a hole in the wall. The A-Team was awesome. The A-Team was, like, the best show ever.
I don't know. It was silly. Silly show. Oh, excuse me. Also, I'm dying of a cough.
I see that.
I forgot to mention that. And we started to plan our summer vacation. We're going to Hokkaido for a couple days with Osaka Grandma. And I think we're leaning towards going to Vancouver.
I knew
at,
it.
At some point. What do you mean you knew it?
It's really the only place you go.
Well, it's the closest place.
Enjoy.
It's the closest place where they speak English, and it's not like Hawaii.
No, it's very nice in Vancouver.
We could go to Hawaii, maybe, instead.
Yeah.
Anything else, Wombat, before we move on to some CAG news?
Nah, we rambled long enough, and I yelled at some rambling. So,
okay, CAG news-ish. We did on CAG. We did start our trade-in database, but I haven't announced it. By trade-in database, I mean we allow users to enter in trade-in value. So, if you go to GameStop or Game Crazy or Blockbuster, and you trade in some games, you can come back to CAG and you can enter in the trade-in values you got so your fellow CAGs can, you know, can see what they are. The reason why I haven't made a formal announcement, and I'm just sort of talking about it here, is that Super Programmer John is putting together a quick data entry form, you know, a method for entering trade-in values. Right now it's okay if you're entering one or two, but if you have a whole list, it's going to take a while. So that should be up very soon, and it looks like it's coming along very nicely. And we hope to get, you know, from some of the retailers that have online trade-in value information, like a Gamefly or Amazon, we hope to automate that stuff so we don't need users to enter it in, and we can just pull it from the retailers themselves. But I think people are going to be really excited about this. Whenever I tell somebody about it, they're like, oh my God, this is going to be great.
You so keep that's talking. Coming. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
You're what? Well, Wombat just left. Okay. So that's coming. We also are launching specific retailer pages. So every retailer is going to get their own page on CAG. And then you can go to that retailer's page. You can write a review for the retailer.
You can
look to see. Okay. You can look to see all the forum threads that are associated with that retailer, which I showed you this earlier, Wombat.
Yes, it was very cool.
So a lot of stuff that's coming. It's just, I don't know. It's not here yet, but it's stuff to be excited about, I think. I mean, I'm excited, Wombat. I haven't taken my pants off like you, but I'm excited.
Well, I take my pants off excited or not. It's more of it's like a personal thing.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the new releases?
Right before we do that, I just want to give a quick thank you and a shout out to Cheap Ass Gamer's own Lobster Johnson, who was kind enough to send me a toy in the mail.
Oh.
The Night Rescue Steve Irwin Crocodile Hunter action figure.
He needed a Night Rescue, didn't he?
Well, it comes with a wombat.
Oh, wow.
And he talks. Wait, let's see if I could get the mic to pick it up.
Crikey, what's this in me chest? What? I can't hear what he's saying.
I think he says, have a look at this something or other, and isn't she just lovely? And actually, right. The button is right where the stingray hit him, right in the chest.
Right. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So that is right. My Steve Irwin action figure.
Excellent. So let's do the new releases, Wombat. It looks like it's been a slow week. You got G-Force. I was very disappointed when I heard this G-Force movie was coming out.
And it has nothing to do with the G-Force you're used to from a childhood.
Yeah, because what I like to do is I like to, you know, I have a media center in my living room. I run Plex on my Mac Mini, and you can go through all the movie trailers from Apple's website. So I see G-Force on the list, and I'm like, and, you know, Mrs. Cheapy's sitting next to me, and I'm like, oh my God, G-Force, I can't believe it. I mean, I remember being in kindergarten watching that show and just loving it, and, you know, and this is it's a Japanese cartoon called Gatchaman. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, Mrs. GB, this is Gatchaman. And I put it on, and it's some freaking hamster with a, you know, it's like a spy hamster or something. I don't know. I was like, I can't believe it. They should be sued for that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You saw it?
No, but the whole idea of it is
the whole idea is terrible. I mean, I can't believe it. So that's coming out for basically every system. Also, Rock Band Country Track Pack, which I could give two shits about. The Watchmen. Have you played the Watchmen game?
It's supposed to be so awful.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. I mean, this, I guess, is a retail disc compilation of the two downloadable arcade
games. And the PlayStation 3 version comes with the movie as well.
That's cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's like, I forget how much it is. It's like $47. That's me guessing.
Yeah. I thought it was like 40. 40 bucks, could it have been?
I think just the Xbox version is 40, and that's for just the two.
No.
I'm telling you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay, so Watchmen. Oh, there's like a million freaking Watchmen things. Wow. If you type in Watchmen into Amazon, you get a lot.
You get a lot
of Watchmen stuff. Here it is. It's $50. You're right. And it comes with the game. And the 360 version is $30. So it's like a beat 'em up, right?
Yeah, and the first one got awful, awful reviews.
Right. You get to be Rorschach and what's the dude's name? Night Owl.
Owlman.
The guy who played Rorschach in the movie was really good, I thought.
The dude from Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears?
Yes.
Who was he in Bad News Bears?
He was, what's his name? Kelly.
He was the little kid?
Yeah.
Like the biker kid?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
I know. I can't believe you didn't know that. That frightens me, actually.
No, well, you know, now that you mention it, though, yeah. He did not age well. He's a very weird-looking guy.
He is a weird-looking guy, but, you know.
But he was great in the movie. I mean, and he kicks a lot of ass. I mean, he kicks an incredible amount of ass in the movie. It's pretty awesome. Anything else in the new releases?
We got
here?
Little King Story came out this week as well.
You checked that out, right?
I played a little bit of it. I was at an event for XSEED right before about 2 weeks ago, and okay. Yeah, it's good. I have it, so it's good. It's a good little game.
What kind of game is it?
It's sort of like a cross between. It's kind of Pokemon-y. Mm-hmm. Not Pokemon-y, Pikmin-y. Wow. Sorry.
Right.
It's a lot like Pikmin, where you have, like, people that follow you, and when you want to fight, you throw your people. But you're also kind of maintaining your kingdom at the same time.
I see. That's for the Wii.
That's for the Wii.
All right. That's cool. Anything else that we need that bears mentioning here?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Then let's move on.
Yes.
Let's do a quick rundown of the June NPD numbers. I don't know.
The Jews NPD numbers?
No, the June NPD numbers. The DS was number one in hardware sales with 766,000 units. And then after that, it was the Wii with 361,000 units. And the 360 with 240 and the PS3 with 165 and PSP and PS2, right? Just right behind that. Apparently, you know, the last 2 months have been pretty slow in terms of game sales and hardware sales.
Really slow. Actually, if you look at last year's game sale numbers, I think the number 10 game on the list a year ago sold like 260,000 copies.
Right.
And that would this month make it the number 5 or 6 game.
Right. Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting is that the Xbox 360 has actually been outpacing its sales from last year. So if you compare the year-to-date last year with this year, 360 is up. It's the only system that's doing that.
Don't they lose 20%. Money on every console sold anyway?
What's that?
Don't they lose money on every console sold?
I don't think so anymore.
Is that not true anymore?
I don't think you start, you know, they drop the price, and I don't think you drop the price when you're losing money.
And how many more Wiis can they really sell when everybody has one?
Right. Nobody needs 2 Wiis because they don't break.
Exactly. So, and they make a profit on each one sold, so they don't care.
Right. Right. So, I don't know, just some good news for the Xbox 360. And I don't know. So that's the hardware side of it. The software side, the number one game in game sales in June was Prototype for the 360. And I thought it was interesting that that was number one, but the PS3 version was number 13.
Well, I think that it's not that crazy when you think about it. I can understand people going into the store if they own a PlayStation 3 and seeing that, or Infamous, and knowing Infamous's pedigree and that it's a PS3 exclusive, maybe picking that up over Prototype. Where if you own an Xbox 360, you don't have that choice to make.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, actually.
Yeah, I know. See? Look at me being smart.
Have you've been playing Prototype, right?
I have been playing Prototype.
How far are you?
I can't really tell.
How many hours have you played, would you say?
A good amount, maybe like 5 or 6.
Okay, so I played a little more than you, but I haven't played it in a while.
I mean, you know, you run a lot of running.
A lot of running and jumping.
A lot of slicing people in half.
What do you think of the game? I mean, it seems like it should be more fun than it actually is.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's not that the game isn't fun. It is. I think the game lacked structure. And when you remove structure, mechanics that are fun when you don't have the ability to just do it all the time become less fun. Does that make sense?
No.
Thanks.
Well, slightly.
Slightly. Basically, what I'm saying is because you have so much freedom in the game to just basically run around the city for hours on end, the running and the jumping becomes less fun. So when you go to actually play the game, it's not as enjoyable because you've already ran and jumped yourself, you know, enough. You don't feel like you need to keep doing it anymore.
What do you think of the story? I mean, maybe that's one of the things. Because I'm having a hard time pegging down. there's a story. I mean, you know what? Maybe it might be. The main character that you control is not, look, here's a guy, he's got all these incredible powers. He can take anybody's identity. He can, you know, super strong. He can jump super high. He can run super fast. He can basically fly. But he's lacking like some major charisma. And I don't like the design too of the character. Like,
why would you take off the hood?
Right, the hood. That thing, it's so annoying. Like,
I don't
why would
get
you,
the
who
hood.
Who wears a hood?
Just give me a button so I can flip it down. That's all I want. Right.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid. Who wears a hood? I mean, are you going to really wear a hood? Like, if you're a guy like that? If you're, like, a super powerful guy, you're going to really wear a hood. And I know you can, like, I really wish, like, there was, I mean, this is going to sound a little lame, but I really wish that you could, you know, change your clothes in that. And I know you can absorb people and become them, but that's not really the same thing. I wish that you could, you know, change his outfit.
Yeah, it's just, it's, it is.
He's lacking personality.
The game does a lot of things right. It does more right than wrong, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it lacks maybe because there is a lack of a story and because there is a lack of any real charisma for the character, you don't really feel the need to keep progressing the game along, and you find yourself just kind of running around the city, jumping up to build, jumping, climbing the tallest building and jumping off, and you can only do that so many times before you kind of get bored and move on to the next game without ever finishing it.
Yeah, I almost wish that this you know, and we know that the developers of this game are the guys that made the Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction for the last gen systems.
Because it's the same
game. Didn't you find yourself wishing that this was a Hulk game?
A little bit. I mean, yeah, definitely you could see where the Hulk would fit in, but I don't think the Hulk would kill that many innocent people. But
right, that's a good point. I wish that this was based on some licensed property that had some sort of already established background story that maybe the game could have, sort of grown from. I don't know. I found myself not getting sucked in to the game. Just that certain something was just missing. Anyway, back to the NPD list. So that was the number one game. Number two was UFC 2009 for the Xbox 360, which I believe was number one last month, right?
Yeah, that game is doing really well.
So that's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I played the demo, and I just, you know, I like watching those MMA fights and stuff, but I don't know. I found that, like, the fighting was really slow in the demo. Like, you know, you throw
a
punch.
There are some people that really enjoy that style of game.
I know.
And there hasn't been a good game like that in quite some time.
I know. Maybe I'm going to keep my eye open for that, and maybe I'll pick it up on the team. Maybe it's just a bad demo. EA Sports Active for the Wii is number three, proving that you can never have too many accessories for the Wii, even if they're rubber bands. And that people like to buy exercise equipment and then use it.
From what I've read and have heard from people that have played the EA Sports Active, that if you're actually looking to use your Wii for working out, it's much more effective than Wii Fit. So,
oh, okay.
So there.
Well,
I'll say something positive.
Wii Fit came in at number five, but we skipped Tiger Woods PGA Tour 10 for the Wii, which was number four. So look at that. Three Wii games in the top five and two 360 games. Rounding up the top 10, you got Fight Night Round 4 for the 360 and the PS3 in 6 and 7, which is a great game. I have it. It's a lot of fun. You got Mario Kart Wii in number 8. Red Faction Guerrilla, a game that we both love for the 360, at number 9. Did you finish that yet?
No, I have so much. I've been playing a little bit of a lot of things. I'm going with the Chinese buffet approach of video game playing. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this.
That's good. I like that. And number 10 is Infamous, which I went back to playing that, and it's fun. I like it. Maybe next week I'll have time to finish that.
You'll never guess what showed up in the mail today.
What was the game that you were complaining about not getting last week? I can't remember. It was that one, I bet.
I'll give you a hint.
Uh-huh.
It's number 11.
Oh, you got Ghostbusters?
Yes.
For the 360?
Yeah.
Oh, well, did you had asked some Atari for that?
No, they said they were going to send it to me, and then they didn't. And then I emailed them said, "Oh, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't lost in the mail, and they weren't wondering."
Right. I remember.
Yeah. So, okay, so a month later, it showed up.
have you tried it?
No, I literally got it today. I'm doing this show instead.
Oh, okay. It's fun. I finished it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's short, but it's the worst cock tease ever with that Ghostbusters, with teasing you with playing the full Ghostbusters song.
I'll survive.
No, you won't. It's going to make you crazy. I guarantee it makes you crazy.
Awesome. I can't wait to go crazy. Did you notice what game isn't in the top 20?
The Conduit. Well, no, The Conduit only had like a week though, right?
No. I don't think so.
When did it come out? I'm looking it up right now.
Let's see who's faster. We need like.
No, I have it. It came out on the 23rd, so it only had a week in June.
Okay, fine. It only had a week.
Let's move on to some game shopping news, Wombat.
Yes, let's.
I think that's enough NPD NPD stuff. I mean, is there anything else interesting here?
No, no one really cares anyway.
Well, here's something that's interesting. Number 20 was New Super Mario Brothers for the DS. And Mario Kart for the DS is number 18. I mean,
those are big drops for those games.
But those games have been out for a long time, though.
Yes.
I mean, a long time. It's especially Super Mario Brothers. All right, let's move on to the game shopping news. What's that?
Mario Kart for the DS has been out longer than Super Mario DS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best of the Sunday ad deals, Wombat. Best Buy has Gears of War 2 for $30, and Amazon matched that deal. Also, if you buy if you pre-order a select game, you can get $10 off any $30 game at Best Buy. Also, if you head over to Target, they've got a buy one Xbox 360 game, get one 50% off, which is a great deal. Also, if you buy a Xbox 360 60 gigabyte console, you can get a $50 gift card. And if you buy the 1,600 Microsoft points at Target, you get a $5 gift card. Amazon's got a similar deal with the console there. I think it's if you buy an Elite, you get a $50 gift card, and the one that has Fable 2 and Halo 3. If you buy the older Elite bundle with Indiana Jones and Kung Fu Panda, you get a $70 gift card. Although apparently those are the older consoles; they're the Zephyr chips, not the newer ones. So buyer beware. I did not realize that when I posted that on the front page of CAG. But
way to go, jerk!
I blew it.
You blew it.
You blew it. I just closed this, didn't I? Let's see what else we got in the Sunday ad. Oh, Toys R Us is really trying to get rid of Guitar Hero, like a lot of retailers are. You can buy the Guitar Hero World Tour kit for the guitar kit for the Wii for $50, and you get a $10 gift card. And you can buy the band kits for the 360 and the Wii for $100, and you get a $10 gift card. So all those deals end on Saturday the 25th. So if you're interested in that, hurry. Some comments from our listeners that relate to game shopping. Close Confine says, used game sales have been off the charts in 2009. Do you think the used game sales are going to make you guys a used game buyer? Or are you guys going to stay true and buy new games? Or has the economy driven you to buy just used games? I don't understand what he means, Wombat, when he says, are we going to stay true and buy new games? What does that mean?
I think he's saying that there's something better about buying new games over used games. Although I will admit I usually do buy only... I rarely buy used games unless the deal on the used version is ridiculous. Like, a $5 difference isn't enough for me to go right. Used over new. But
despite the pressure that they put on you in the store.
Yeah. Like, when I picked up Iron Man for the 360, that's $30 new most places. And I got it for $7 used.
Okay, from Gamefly, right?
Yeah, from Gamefly. So that was worth it to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with buying used games. I don't think it makes you any less of a game fan or, like he says, what did he say, stay true and buy new games? No, that's ridiculous. It's not our job to, you know, to support the video game industry and only buy new games. I mean, you know, our job is to, I mean, if you're supporting the video game industry by buying games, okay? So you're going to go for the best deal that you can get, you know? That's legal. So buy new game, buy used games when they're cheap. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and if you think that there is something wrong with it, then don't do it. But I don't think it's fair to go to somebody else and you know, to rain on their parade if they're getting a good deal buying a used game somewhere. I mean, come on. It's a cheap-ass gamer. Got to get the cheap shit.
Yeah.
Chocoblock says, I heard you guys mentioning in previous podcasts that you'd like to see games retail for much lower prices. Say a company decided to do this and release their new IP at half the price of a normal game. Do you think that people's expectations of the game would be much less? They might think there's something wrong with it as it doesn't warrant the normal full price tag. And, you know, so he wants to know, does a cheaper game that, you know, a game that releases at a cheaper price have some sort of stigma attached to it? You know, I think it you know, in the hardcore, read video game message boards circles. Yeah, some people will definitely think that. But for the most part, I think those people don't really matter all that much. If they're interested in the game, they're going to buy it no matter what the price is. I think that where it's really going to make a difference is on the shelf of a Walmart or a Target, where people are just, you know, browsing and they see a game that's $30, and if the game sounds interesting to them, you know, it's certainly going to look a lot more attractive than the $60 game sitting next to it.
Also, if a game is a budget game, and I do think that, yes, the expectations are lowered when it is a budget title, but say it is a great game, then it could work in the game's advantage where, say, if it was full price and it was a good game, it may hurt the reviews, but if it's a budget game and it's a good game, that might help the reviews.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And often, I don't know, I always feel like when I've sort of almost stopped reading reviews at this point. I don't know. I mean, I'll go to Metacritic and I'll take a glance at the score just to see, you know, if it has like a 30, then I know I'm pretty much not interested in it. But I noticed that when I did read reviews that very little attention is paid to the game's price. You know, and they might say one line saying, you know, this game has a budget price or something like that. But it doesn't seem to really affect the scores that much. But yeah, I agree, Juan. But your expectations, you know, if you're buying a $30 game, sure, your expectations, it would be fair to have lower expectations than a $60 game. But that's okay.
I think this I think this conversation can lead us right into the multi-platforming segment. And I will talk about how I feel about Iron Man that I got for $7.
Okay, now, because this game is so old, Wombat, let's try to keep this under 10 minutes.
You know what it is? The thing with Iron Man, and the only reason why I wanted to bring it up, is A, I know it's not a good game, but somewhere in there is probably a really good game that just wasn't
Well, they're making Iron Man 2, you know.
I know, and I have a lot of, you know, the trailer for the game came out yesterday for Iron Man 2. And, you know, if they fix what's wrong with the game, basically if they make it fun.
That's a big problem. That's a big thing to fix.
Then I think that there's potential for it to be a really good game. Like, the weapons are really cool. The upgrades kind of work. I like the controls, even though they take a good 3 levels to get used to.
How much time did you put into it before you gave up?
I think I played the game for maybe 2 hours.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, no, it's not like I put it down. And I like it, which is even worse. Like, I like it more than the Hulk game.
Okay.
Which came out around the same time, and the Hulk game got much better reviews. But there's something about that control scheme where I think it's a good idea that it just takes so much getting used to, because there's no jump, there's the hover, and then there's flying. But there's a good game in there.
I remember the demo was brutal.
Yeah, exactly. There's that demo, which just was crazy. So I have hopes for Iron Man 2, and I'd say if you find it like I did for $7 and you're curious and you really like Iron Man, pick it up.
Okay. And speaking and continuing our conversation about games that are priced cheaply on release, I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 1943, and I know this is a downloadable game, and you have it too, right?
I does. We played together, remember? No.
Oh, right. I mean, don't you think that this is a great game for $15?
Yeah, it is a lot of fun for $15.
I mean, and my expectations were pretty low, actually, when I heard it was going to be $15, but this is a great game. I mean, I think it looks great. I mean, it looks like a full release title, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it uses a lot from that Bad Company engine, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think flying planes is kind of hard.
It's really hard, but it's always been hard in the Battlefield series, and, you know, they have this air superiority mode now. Have you tried that?
I haven't tried it yet, but I know that is it available on both consoles now? I know a couple of days ago.
I don't know.
It wasn't on the PS3 yet, yeah, but
there was a challenge where basically this game mode was unlocked by, the whole community had to reach 43 million kills. And the Xbox 360 community reached it very quickly. Like, it was like a week, right?
Well, that's because I was playing on the 360 and I get killed a lot. Yeah,
and everybody was killing him. Yeah. It's a good... Anyway, the point was that's a good place to practice your flying. Instead of just flying around
there is a tutorial that you could fly around in.
Yeah, it's boring.
It is boring, but it exists.
I am really bad at the flying, so what I would do... So I would play the air superiority mode, and all it is basically there's aircraft. Each team has aircraft carriers, and you fly. There's no other vehicles. There's no ground fighting. You can fly, but you can still, you know, get out of the plane and stuff. So what I would do, I had this great plan, Wombat, because it seemed very unlikely that I would be able to actually shoot down another plane in a dogfight. I had a great plan, and I took a sniper, and I took explosives, and I put the explosives on my plane. And my plan was that I would fly my plane to the enemy aircraft carrier and aim it at the deck of the aircraft carrier and then jump out of the plane and parachute and then blow the plane up.
Kamikaze style. Which is,
yeah, but with explosives strapped to it, so even more so, which wasn't that successful. I couldn't. That was very complicated, so then I had a new plan that I would parachute out of the plane and land on the enemy aircraft carrier and then strap the explosives to their planes when they weren't looking and then let the person get into the plane and fly away and then blow it up.
When they weren't looking.
I wound up killing myself a lot doing that.
I can imagine.
But it was fun. It was fun. I mean, I don't know. Great game. I definitely easy to recommend for $15. No question about it. Even if you're a casual first-person shooter fan, I mean, it's just fun to have a game that you can just launch at any time. A game like this, that you can launch any time with no disc in the drive. I don't know. That's a big selling point for me. I'm lazy.
We all know.
Let's see. Other multi-platforming news. We talked about Prototype. Oh, this was while we were on break. Activision announced the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, all the special editions that they're having. So there's the Hardened Edition, which is like the regular collector's edition, and that's $80, and it's like the steel case, book, whatever. And then, of course, you know that there's the Prestige Edition, which is the $150 version that includes actual working night vision goggles.
Sort of working.
Sort of, right, they're like, you know, they sell these things at Toys R Us, I'm sure. These
they do. They sell them. Yeah. I think they're like $70 on on Amazon or something.
I actually guessed the price of this when they first announced
you
this.
You did. You were right. I was wrong.
I was right. Somebody at one of the kegs put it on their blog. They put the video on their blog, and I said, I'm going to guess $149.99. Sure enough, I was right. You know, I've been very surprised because, you know, we have this stuff all on keg. I can see how many people are buying these things through Amazon. And I've been very surprised with the amount of people who have already pre-ordered the Prestige Edition for Xbox 360. It's the number one selling version pre-order so far, the Prestige Edition, by a lot. So that's good for me.
Yes.
And Activision. Are you going to buy the $150 version?
Why would you ask such a stupid question?
Wouldn't you like to have shitty night vision goggles?
No.
No.
Not for $150.
Right. Well, it does seem silly. But here's, speaking of silly, I mean, and you know, Activision seems to be taking a page out of the Nintendo book. They want to sell as much plastic as possible. So they're also designing a Modern Warfare 2 controller. Did you see this? Like a branded Modern Warfare 2 controller.
Well, I mean, it really depends on if it looks anything different or special. I mean, there's Halo-branded controllers, too.
No. But the Halo-branded controllers are just regular Microsoft Xbox 360 controllers with a paint job on them.
Yes.
These are going to be newly designed controllers because the guy, the community manager, had something on Twitter where he asked about, he wanted to know where people liked concave or convex stick nubbins, as they say.
Well,
so they're making a whole new controller.
We'll see how it looks when it comes out. I mean,
yeah.
I remember the chainsaw controllers that came out with Resident Evil 4. Sometimes it's not necessarily a way to force you to buy new plastic as much as it is an item for collectors and aficionados of the game.
I can't imagine anybody wanting to collect a Modern Warfare 2 controller unless it looks like a gun.
See, but that shows how little you know your audience.
All right. Maybe you're right, Wombat. Let us move on to Microsoft.
Yes, let's.
Why don't you take this story here? Because why don't you run with this, Wombat? I don't even know what this is.
Okay. Now, they're releasing some downloadable packs for the, what is this game? Gears of War 2.
some downloadable packs. Yes, I mean, have they stopped releasing map packs for this game? I mean, it's one month after the game was released, there were new map packs out, and they haven't stopped. Every month, it seems like there's a new map pack.
Well, now they're releasing two more packs. One is the All Fronts pack, and there's also
everything?
The Dark Corners map pack.
Does the All Fronts pack have all the maps?
I don't think it has everything. Okay, here's the deal with the All Fronts pack, and which makes it interesting. The All Fronts pack was supposed to be it's a retail expansion. It was originally supposed to be a retail expansion that includes all the games previously released, downloadable map packs. So yes, the other three plus something new, which I think it's like a new short single player mode. Maybe a co-op mode.
Oh, I see. Okay, and new map. It was supposed to have the other three map packs and the Dark Corners pack?
The Dark Corners, which is seven new multiplayer maps. And a deleted campaign chapter called Road to Ruin.
Okay.
Now, they were supposed to release this game retail also. This game, the All Fronts pack, was supposed to be released retail for $20. And it was supposed to come with a custom theme, a poster, a strategy guide, and I think a little bit of extra content.
Right.
Yeah. Now, here's what's interesting. They scrapped the retail edition, which means, you know,
Xbox Marketplace only.
Xbox Marketplace only, which means there goes the free theme and poster and strategy guide.
Right. Right.
Which kind of sucks.
Okay.
If you were loyal and bought all those map packs new, which would be about $30 worth of stuff, you're kind of screwed anyway because you have no need to get this. They did drop the price of the Dark Corners from $20 to $15. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's. I don't like any of it.
I don't understand. So then, it's very confusing. So All Fronts includes everything?
It includes the three previous map packs.
And Dark Corners?
No, Dark Corners you still need to buy separately for $15.
No. You sure?
Yes.
It's so confusing. Who came up with this? I'm looking at the article and I can't figure it out. No, it does. It includes Dark Corners, it says.
I thought it did.
All Fronts. I'm looking at it. I mean, but maybe that was the retail version that included Dark Corners. I don't know. It's so confusing. I mean, here's the point. I'm not buying any of it, no matter what it's called, because it's stupid. I mean, I already spent so much money I spent $60 on the game, and now if you really want to be serious about playing online, you need to have all the maps. So I got to spend another $20. I mean, I don't even know. Do I need to spend $20? Do I need to spend $35? I don't even know. Who are the people who are buying this stuff?
I don't know.
I mean, stupid. It's so confusing. I mean, who? I don't even care.
Wait, so I'm trying to figure this out now, too, because now it's seven map packs and the new DLC for
$1,500.
$1,500? For $15 or 1,200 points. Yeah, this is. I'm now just as confused as you are. So All Fronts equals map pack plus new campaign plus both old map packs plus premium theme. Dark Corners equals map pack plus new campaign and does not include the old map packs.
But All Fronts includes Dark Corners.
But All Fronts includes Dark Corners.
Okay. So basically, if you spend an extra $5, you get everything.
Yes.
Okay. God, it's so stupid.
That was really hard.
Stupid, stupid.
And I'm sure there are people who knew everything and that were gritting their teeth at us the whole time. So we apologize in advance.
Sorry. It's very frustrating. I mean, who could even figure it out? But I stopped playing. As soon as the game came out with a new map pack a month after release, I stopped playing because I said, I don't really feel like I should have to invest another 10. Was it $10 for the maps? I don't even remember.
I don't know. I haven't even finished the story on that game yet.
I'm actually on the final boss battle. I've been, you know, and I just stopped playing because I died a bunch of times. And I said, you know what? I don't even care. I don't care how the story ends. It's stupid. It's hardly a story in there anyway.
What? It's about two men in love with each other.
What else we got here, Wombat? This Rock Band. This is interesting. So there's now going to be a Rock Band network, which is basically targeted at indie bands so that they can put their songs into Rock Band, and it's only going to be on Xbox 360 because it uses the Microsoft XNA Creator Kit or whatever it's called, Creators Club. So if you're an indie band, you can get your make your song a Rock Band song, and you'll get paid when people buy your song. And that's a 360 exclusive. So, I mean, I'm not, like, really into indie music, but it's an interesting concept.
Well, how do they stop people from putting, like, cover songs on there? Will those be pulled, like, pulled?
Yes, because that's what they had with Guitar Hero World Tour. Yeah. They had that song creator mode, and, yeah, anything that's a real, you know, you can't do cover songs. What else we got here? What's Wombat is the featured gamer. What is this? I'm clicking on this link right now.
I can't believe you haven't clicked it yet.
I haven't seen anything. Oh, you're the featured Xbox Live gamer?
Yep, on Xbox.
Trixie interviews Wombat 5277. Look at that, right on Xbox. Look at you. There's a picture of you eating a giant lobster.
Hello, I know.
Wombat 5277 and dinner. This is great. Look at that. Well, congratulations, Wombat. What did you have to do to Trixie? You
don't want to know.
There's a whole interview right here. Look at that. Well, congratulations. And here's his gamer tag. Your favorite superhero is Black Bolt. I never even heard of that.
That's sad.
And look at that. Cool. Congratulations, Wombat.
Thank you. Yeah, you could post a link in the show notes and everyone can laugh at my funny interview. And thank you to Trixie for asking me.
Yes, that is cool. If you want, why don't you do it? You should do a blog post about that, Wombat.
I posted it in the forum thread. So,
Oh, you did? Okay. Yep. Maybe I'll put it on the front page if you remind me.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, here's some comments from our listeners. I guess this is from some show feedback from last week, but it relates to Microsoft. We talked about, I think someone from Sony made a comment about Xbox Live versus PlayStation Network, and Sony thought that they had caught up with Xbox Live. Anyway, Strife 2004 says, here's my 2 cents why I don't mind paying $30 or $50 per year for Xbox Live. He obviously got his on sale. Free demos for every arcade community game is worth $50 per year. I went to PlayStation Network last night to look at the games that were on sale. Yeah, they are having a summer sale, by the way. You should check that out on PlayStation Network. Some good stuff there. He says, I went to last night to look at the games that were on sale. None of the games I was interested in had demos. Some didn't even have videos, or if they did, they were buried in some inconvenient location. Come on, Sony. You copied achievements by adding trophies. Give us mandatory demos. Then he goes on to say, the party system also blows away anything on PlayStation Network. Being able to chat across games and switch back and forth between party and game chat is pretty sweet. Add cross-game invites, and you can quickly see that Sony has a lot of ground to cover, even being free. Two things I want to say, Wombat. First of all, it's a very good point about the demos. That is a very valuable valuable feature, I think. In fact, I meant to play the Xbox Live Arcade game this week is Splosion Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I did queue up the demo from the Xbox.com, but I forgot to actually download it and play it.
I think Shipwreck has that game.
Yeah, I'm sure. It looked pretty cool. Yeah. That is a great feature, of course. One of my main complaints about the PS3 is that they had a year to copy Microsoft, and they didn't. You know, yes, they copied the trophies, but they copied the trophies so late that they're basically useless. And, you know, there's just something much better about having a score. And, I don't really care a lot about achievement points, but... You know, it's very easy to understand numbers. Trophies, a little confusing. And, you know, I went back and I started playing, what's the game? The Last Guy, which is a very fun PlayStation Network game. And they added trophy support to it. But if you want to get trophies in the game, you have to delete your save file. You have to start a whole new game. So now every time I start the game up, it asks me if I want to delete my save file and start over so I can get trophies.
That's annoying.
Which is annoying. Yeah, and it's like, that's what I want to do. I want to start over and get trophies. But one thing that he mentioned was cross-game invites, and I thought I had something here from Thomas...
Thomas96 says, doesn't PSN have cross-game invites? Here's an example. I was playing BlazBlue when I received an invite message from another friend playing Street Fighter 2 Turbo Remix. Then I stopped playing BlazBlue, then went into Street Fighter Remix and joined his game from the friend invite system, where it brings up the message I received as you join or decline. Other games use this system as well.
Right. I did not know about that. And apparently it's only some games that have that.
So it's a game thing. It's not a console thing.
Correct. It's something that the developer has to put into the game. Okay. So that's fair enough. I did not know that. So now I've been educated. Thank you, Thomas. So all right. So Strife makes some good points here. Ninju D wants to know what we think about the announcement that there's going to be more ads on Xbox Live. Every website's comment and forum section are full of folks dragging out the "why are there ads when I pay $50 argument, even though we pay for magazines and cable TV, and those are full of ads. Personally, as long as the multiplayer experience of 360 stays solid, I don't give a shit if they want to have ShamWow infomercials." Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was reading on... I think it was Kotaku. They had an article up about how there's now ads on the Xbox Live dashboard. These little, like, they're basically flash ads. Like, you know, full motion video ads. But those have been there for a long time. I mean, I've seen those for months. Like, some, not Nike, but some, like, shoe commercial or something. Basketball nonsense. Those have been there for a long time. They don't, you know, I'm not crazy about them. As long as they're not in my face when I start up the console, and I can get past them quickly. It doesn't really bother me that much.
And you can't just have your console turn on and go straight to the game that's in the dish tray.
That's true, but I don't do that.
And then you can push a little button in the middle and check everything from there while you're, you know, from the game.
While I'm, you know, and then I can wait like 60 seconds for the guide to come up.
Well, that update's coming soon. Is it August 11th?
No, but that update's not having... not speeding up the dashboard.
Oh, well, then I don't care about the update.
Right. I believe Major Nelson said that they are working on that, something for the fall release.
I don't believe anything Major Nelson says.
You don't?
No, he's a big liar.
He's a liar?
He's a liar and a cheat.
And a cheat. Well, I don't agree with that, but I will.
I heard he cheats on his gamer score.
There was a really funny thread on the Xbox, the official Xbox. That was Major Nelson.
That's the name he uses when he really plays games.
Well, there's this guy posted on the Xbox.com forums saying, he's like, "Why is my gamer score reset? This is ridiculous. I don't do anything. I don't cheat." And a moderator gets on there and he's like, "I just Googled your gamer tag and I see you posting on all these forums asking, you know, people to send you game saves, you know, so you can cheat on your gamer score." And the guy writes back, he's like, "That's not me." He's like, "Would I be so stupid to use my real name, my real gamer tag on that? I'm not an idiot, blah, blah, blah." And then there's like a few posts later, another moderator gets on. He's like, "We just reset your gamer score on Friday. And now you already have 230,000 gamer score points again." He's like, "We've just banned your console."
That's really funny.
It's pretty funny. And then they locked the thread. I wonder... I forgot where I saw that. Maybe on Twitter.
I saw it on Twitter. And I also do not think that Major Nelson is really a liar and a cheat.
I know. I'm still going to make that video, though, of my dashboard. Because I get a lot of messages from people saying... I got someone recently saying that, you know, my system's always been fine, and all of a sudden, it's slow now. My dashboard is slow.
That's because we willed it to you.
Yes, now you... Exactly. All right, Wombat, let's move on to Sony, okay?
Okay.
Why don't you take this story? Because you've added a bunch to the outline this week, and I just don't know what's here.
Oh, it came out that Sony admitted to considering adding a second analog stick to the PSP Go, and then at the last minute they decided not to.
Yeah, because what do you do with the games that are already out there?
They would still play exactly the same. They just wouldn't use the other stick that's there. You're not taking something away, you're adding more. You see, when you add to something and not take away, you don't have to fix what already came before it.
No, but then here's what
has to happen. If you want me to use smaller words for this, I can.
No, listen to me. But then every developer making PSP games in the future has to now put analog support in the game. And for all the systems that are out there that don't have those two sticks... they got to program it for those
systems. Name me one game that has come out for both the PSP and another console, and that other console didn't have two analog sticks. How many cross-platform PSP games are there?
A lot.
Yeah, name me some.
I don't know. I don't even turn on my PSP.
Yes, there's a lot of games that go from the PSP to the PlayStation 2. You know what the PlayStation 2 has?
Two analog sticks. But they go the other way, too, basically, pretty much, right?
It's not really. Not very well.
No. Well, I don't know.
The reason why they said they didn't do it is because they felt as though developers were able to adapt to the single analog very well, and they didn't want to, I guess, rock the boat. But, you know.
Right. They don't want to make more work for the guys.
I think you're making less
trouble enough
work,
for these
though.
Guys. You know, you got Activision saying that they're not going to be making any more PSP games. So maybe they don't want to make it harder for the developers.
I think there's a couple of games that came out on the DS also. I guess what it was like Arkanoid and Space Invaders Extreme. But even those games, you wouldn't have to do anything different because you added a second analog stick. And, you know, your point is not valid.
Okay. I will let you win this one, Mombat.
So
this was an interesting rumor, and this rumor, let me see, this came from the 1UP podcast from David Ellis. He says that the PSP Slim will come out this August, and it will be bundled with Madden NFL 10. So there you go. If you're waiting for the PSP Slim, you don't have to wait much longer, apparently, if you believe this guy. And it sounds like, I mean, I didn't hear his podcast, but this article that I'm reading makes it sound like the guy was pretty sure of himself. So he must know.
Or does he?
I don't know. Sounds viable to me. All right, so that's interesting. I mean, I don't know. They're not going to drop the price, though. I know it. There's no way. And people, I don't think people have been waiting for, you know, people aren't buying the PS3 because it's too fat. You know, it's not like some chick that they're trying to sleep with, that they're just waiting, you know, for it to look different.
They're waiting for her to get fat so she'll sleep with them?
No, waiting for her. Right. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe it'll be so sexy that people will be just drawn to it. We'll have to buy it. This is pretty funny, Wombat. So some dude got banned from PlayStation Network because I guess he was, like, screwing around in Resistance playing online. So he's suing Sony for $55,000. It says, he's suing them for pain and suffering.
I didn't know the suffering came out for the PlayStation Network. I know pain is available, and I can imagine, I can see why he would sue, but.
Okay, he's saying that he has, the plaintiff has agoraphobia, so he's afraid of crowds in open spaces, and his only way to interact with other people is to play PlayStation.
Yeah, but that's not PlayStation's problem.
I know. I mean, who's the lawyer that agreed to this? I mean, you should just take that guy and just bar him right now. The guy's obviously is not in touch with reality and is just interested in clogging up the legal system because it's pretty much the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's frivolous. Let's not even talk about it.
Okay, let's not. Let us move on to Nintendo. So last week we talked a lot about Michael Pachter, and he was making a lot of predictions and stuff. And one of his big predictions is that Nintendo is working on an HD Wii. And Dr. Mario Kart had this to say about it. He said, Wii HD would be the end of Nintendo. The HD business model isn't viable, and they ought to know this. Yes, Western companies are bringing in record revenues on HD platforms, but they are also going out of business and consolidating at an unprecedented rate. Nintendo will never be able to compete with the powerhouse HD multimedia machines because, at the end of the day, they want to make money. And neither Microsoft or Sony have been able to do this from their gaming divisions alone. Well, that's not true. Microsoft has been making money in their gaming division. They finally were able to do it. But I do agree with Dr. Mario Kart. And that's the whole reason for the success of the Wii is that they're not really competing with Microsoft or Sony. They're doing their own thing. They're going after a different audience, an audience that doesn't give a shit if the game is in HD. They probably don't even know what HD stands for. So they're not looking for HD games or an HD console. And you know, it's a better business model because it's just cheaper for Nintendo. They can sell their console for cheaper. They can make a bigger profit on it because, you know, the things are cheaper to manufacture. I don't know. I cannot imagine why Nintendo would want to release a Wii HD. It makes no sense. I don't know. It goes against, that was the whole, you know, we talked about this last week. The GameCube tried competing with the PS2 and the Xbox, and they just couldn't do it. And that's why the Wii came about, because they said,
my GameCube better than my Xbox.
I know, but a lot of people didn't. And a lot of the multi-platform games didn't really make the transition well to GameCube.
We talked about that last week, 2 weeks ago.
And I think that could be the same problem with the Wii HD. And I don't think anyone's really looking for the Wii HD. It's just Nintendo figured it out, and I think that, you know, they know what's up. They know why they're successful. I don't think we're going to see a Wii HD. Not until the next console, and it probably won't even be called the Wii. It's just, you know, when everything is HD, that's when you'll see a Nintendo.
Well, we're moving towards that. I mean, I get more HD channels, you know, each month. They seem to add another 10 HD channels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I'm at the point where I really won't watch a channel that's in standard definition unless the show on it is so amazing.
Oh, speaking of TV shows.
Yes.
I know this is coming out of nowhere, but you got me thinking. I watched Hell's Kitchen, the first two episodes.
Oh, yeah,
season
I watched
premiere.
That also with our good friend Jimmy Mack.
Jimmy Mack, if you're on the CAG forums, he's a very well-known CAG forum poster. He's been on the forum since 2003, and he's one of the chefs in Hell's Kitchen. He's one of the contestants, and I've never seen the show before. And Mrs. Cheapy and I watched the first, you know, it's 2 hour season premiere, first two episodes. It was great. We really enjoyed it. And it's so fun to watch a show where you know a guy who's on there and you're rooting for him.
Basically what the show is they take 16 completely dysfunctional people, give them knives and fire, and then take someone who's even more dysfunctional and yells at those dysfunctional people for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's the guy, Gordon Ramsay, seems to be completely insane. I've never seen a guy that angry before and yell. It makes me wish that this was on HBO because it seems like every other word out of his mouth is a swear word.
And he calls people a donkey a lot, which I find really funny.
He's just screaming all the time. He's so angry. But Jimmy Mack did awesome.
He did really well, and you know that the other people on the show are way messed up when Jim comes off as the most normal of all of them.
Yeah, Jim seemed like one of the most level-headed people on there, most normal people on there.
Just don't order shrimp from him, and you'll be fine.
That was weird. Do you think that really came?
No,
that
I think
one
it was definitely set up, but still.
It was definitely set up, right? They have one competition where they have to gut shrimp, okay? And there's two teams, and whoever cleanly guts the most shrimp wins the competition. And the girls went first, and then the guys are going, and Jim's the last guy. And they're tied up, and it just happens to be that they're on Jim's last shrimp, and they're checking the shrimp to see if it's clean, and it is, and the guys win. I mean, come on. That's got to be bullshit, right?
Yeah, that's 100% bullshit.
Right, but anyway, it was...
That's grade A bullshit. My favorite are the restaurant patrons that do their terrible acting job of, I can't believe we have been waiting here so long at this restaurant
so
that's really a soundstage in the back lot of a Hollywood studio, and we're getting paid to sit here and pretend to eat food.
Right, and we have, like, you know, bright lights shining on us because it's really a television studio.
No, they're really restaurant patrons.
Anyway, I've never seen the show before. I liked it a lot. I bought the... I hope Jimmy stays on the show a long time because I bought the season pass on iTunes. I wanted to support the effort.
If you want to watch another good Gordon Ramsay show, you got to check out Kitchen Nightmares.
Okay.
That's a great show if you've never seen it.
Okay. So I'll check that out. Good luck to Jim. I guess it's on like Tuesdays on Fox, 8 o'clock.
He goes to current real restaurants and he cleans them up.
Oh.
It's interesting. It's hysterical and it's gross. It makes you never want to eat in a restaurant again.
Oh.
And he goes to, like, the first season, he goes to a lot of restaurants on Long Island.
Oh.
So you got to check it out.
Okay. Let's go back to Nintendo. We got sidetracked there because it was really exciting. I don't know. We had such a fun time watching that show. Let's see here. Holy Headshot. We're still talking about the Wii HD. As much as I think Michael Pachter must be smoking too many Wiimotes, I can't wonder if he's right. I've said it here before, and you guys actually read it on the CanCast. Nintendo has mastered the art of selling us the same thing time and time again, and smiling while they sucker us out of more money for something we've already bought. I can see it coming now. Mario Galaxy HD, Wii Sports HD, Wii Fit HD, Wii Sports Resort HD, and the list goes on and on. They are doing it now with motion-controlled GameCube titles, and they do it again, I'm sure. No surprise. And Jay's Stab 8 basically supports his argument, says, don't buy Wii Sports Resort, boycott the Wii Motion Plus. I refuse to buy an add-on that makes the controller work the way it was supposed to from the start. Isn't Wii Motion Plus simply an admission that the Wiimote didn't work well to begin with and lacked accuracy and timing? It should have had this capacity from the start. No more white plastic in my household.
Those two guys from the Nintendo commercial just went into Jay Stays B's house and kidnapped him. He just disappeared, as did all records of any statements he's ever made.
He's right, though. I mean, they've managed to sell you, or to try and sell you, a $20 add-on for your $20 remote.
Yes. The
remote was $40, right? And then Nunchuck is $20.
Well, the Wiimote is $50 with Wii Play.
Okay. Well, whatever. It's still $40. It's a $40 remote if you buy it separately. So they've managed to sell you a $20, or try to sell you a $20 add-on for for a $40 remote. And he's right. That is an admission that the original one didn't work. And you have to wonder, did Nintendo plan this Wii Motion Plus from the very beginning? I mean, usually this stuff is planned out pretty far in advance. So you gotta wonder if there's a little bit of shenanigans going on here. You know, I said, by the way, I was going to consider buying Wii Sports Resort. I don't know. I sort of refuse to buy it. I don't know. I don't really care. I have no interest in playing like those types of games. Is something wrong with me? I mean, I've heard it's fun.
I heard it's a lot of fun. I kind of want it, but I kind of don't want to buy it either. So what can you do?
And then, like, here's the thing with Wii Sports Resort. Okay, so you buy it, and it comes with the Wii Motion Plus. It's $50, comes with the game, comes with Wii Motion Plus. But now if you want to play it with your friends, you want to play more than one player, which is the type of game that you do, then you got to spend another $20 to buy a piece of plastic to stick on your other Wiimote.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, and that's probably what put me off from buying it, because I've seen it in stores here, Wii Sports Resort, for about $40 or so. But then I got to spend another $15-$20 to pick up the motion, another Motion Plus, if I want to play with Miss Chibi. And then I just say, you know what? I don't even really want to play the game in the first place.
You're going to keep your Wiimote uncircumcised?
Exactly. I just, like, I don't want to invest that much in it. And I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fun. But I got a lot of other things that are fun, too. And I don't have to stand up and swing around and stuff. I want to do a quick iPhone game review here. You listen up, Womack, because you can use your wife's iPod and check this game out. It's called Rope and Fly. It's 99 cents. It's it's very interesting. And in fact, you'd almost suspect that this game could have been called Spider-Man. The game starts off, there's a bunch of buildings, and you drop down from the sky, and you have to touch the screen on the buildings, and a rope shoots out of your guy, and your guy just swings along. And the goal of the game is to get your guy as far as possible. That's the whole game. If you touch the ground, you die. And you just keep swinging and swinging. The physics, the ragdoll physics, are really cool. It's a very simple game. Like this, you'd expect this to be like a browser flash game. And for all I know, it is somewhere. It's such a simple concept. And that's the whole game right there. But it's one of those games where you just keep saying, okay, one more try, one more try, one more try. There's a free version as well, so you can try it out. But like I said, it's only $1 or so. There is a little bit of slowdown sometimes when I play on my 3G. I would imagine the 3GS doesn't have that problem. But Rope and Fly. You should definitely check it out. And it's hard. I've only managed to get, I think, about 1,200 feet, which doesn't seem like very far to me. But it's cool. Very simple and fun, you know, fun portable type of game. And now it is time for Wombat's news and stuff.
I like how there's a question mark.
Because I don't know what to call this thing.
I think that's what it is. It's Wombat's news and stuff.
News and stuff? I don't know what it is. So take it away, Wombat.
Okay. Remember when they announced that another company was going to be making a Marvel MMO? What's it called? Like Bajillion or something weird like that?
Uh-huh.
Gazillion. I'm sorry. Gazillion Entertainment.
Right, right.
They hired away one of the founders and creators of the Diablo series to help make this game.
Oh. So I thought, wait a minute. I thought this game got canceled, right?
Now, there was one that got canceled, and then this company...
Oh, for the consoles.
Then this company that no one ever heard of called Gazillion bought the rights to make a Marvel MMO.
Is this going to be on the PC or consoles, or we don't even know?
We don't know anything about this other than the fact that they actually hired someone with a pedigree to make it.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
I could see... Well, you're more of a DC guy, right?
Actually, I think I may lean more towards Marvel than DC.
Okay. So I could see you paying for an MMO if it was good and Marvel. I could see you paying
for it. I don't
think
I would.
You don't think so?
No, I don't, because you're not going to be able to play. It'll probably be similar to the DC one where you don't play as the characters.
Well, of course not, because they'd run out of characters.
So I really don't have much interest. It's why I'm lean more towards Marvel Ultimate Alliance too. Like that game is slowly becoming my most anticipated game of the year.
All right.
And
cool.
Some pictures leaked from San Diego Comic-Con that if you're a VIP member of the Marvel Ultimate Alliance forums, you could actually is where I saw these pictures.
Are you a VIP member?
I am, and they were posted in the forum. I'm surprised they weren't taken down, but it was pictures of the booth.
Uh-huh.
And it shows a couple of characters that haven't been announced yet officially.
Oh, like who?
Well, Gambit has sort of was leaked a while ago, but they showed a nice big picture of Gambit. And next to Gambit was Jean Grey, who I posted a blog post about on Cheap Ass Gamer not too long ago.
I remember.
So those two characters were shown pretty prominently. And they also showed what looks like it might be Penance, are you familiar with the character Speedball?
I'm familiar with the drug.
Yeah. Well, that's that character. And it's funny because Chris Baker, who does the Marvel video game licensing stuff, he's on the Player One podcast a lot. He posted a picture of the booth on his Twitter. And the panel where it looked like Penance was in that leaked picture was covered up by, like, black paper.
Right, okay.
So I have a feeling that maybe there really is a new character there. It could be Penance, it could be someone else. But that to me was pretty exciting, and I'm very much looking forward to San Diego Comic-Con, which should be in full swing by the time this show is out. So
I remember there's a question in the CAG bag. Somebody, Rick1000, wanted to know if you would ever consider going to Comic-Con.
I would go in a second if I had the time.
Right. You need a job that'll send you there.
Well, yeah, we're working on that.
Right, I heard.
And by working on that, I mean I have no idea if that'll ever happen.
Right.
I have a job. I like my job.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you like it, but you'd like a job that sends you to Comic-Con, too.
Well, I think everyone would like a job that sends them to Comic-Con.
Exactly.
This was kind of interesting. TJ Houshmandzadeh is boycotting the new Madden game because he was only given a rating of a 91.
I thought that was pretty good.
That's very good.
So what is the...
He thinks he should be higher.
He thinks he should be higher, so he's not... What does the boycotting entail?
Him not buying the game, I guess. What makes it interesting is there's that Michael Strahan story that he tells where I think it was his rookie season. He was really excited to pick up Madden because he knew he'd be in it. And he picked it up, and his rating was terrible. And he swore that he would be a 99 rating in Madden someday. And, of course, within like a year, he was a 99 rating in Madden.
God.
And he actually credits that for the reason why he became such a great football player. So,
oh, wait, I found a quote from the guy.
Okay.
He says, Oh, so he's blaming his team on the low stats. He says it's not his fault. He says, I understand I average 10 yards a catch, but it's the offense, not me. I'm not playing Madden no more until they get my rating right. I used to be the best in the world. I used to be the best in the world at Madden. I'm going to miss not playing it, but until they do me right, I not playing it anymore? I guess maybe that's a typo there.
I don't think that's a typo. I think that's really how he said it.
Right. Oh, there's a, you hear my doorbell ringing?
Do you have someone else in the house?
Yeah, I know. Let's see if she gets up and does it. I think it's, you know, I ordered a t-shirt from Woot. You know how Woot sells t-shirts?
Oh, is it the RoboCop one?
I ordered the RoboCopper one. It's RoboCop with a British bobby hat on. They ship to Japan. They ship internationally for $5.
That's pretty good.
So it's it was $15 shipped. I mean,
nice job.
I can't buy a t-shirt here in my size for $15. No matter, you know, so I'm in. Hopefully. And it's an American Apparel shirt. Those are nice shirts.
That sounds good to me.
What else we got, Wombat?
We got, did you download this, the Weezer 8-Bit album?
No, I heard I heard one of the cuts on the beginning of CAG Foreplay.
Yes, they had it there. Well, there you could download. There's a link. You could probably throw it in with the other show links. You could download this whole album of Weezer cover songs for free, and they're all done in that classic Nintendo 8-Bit style. My
chiptunes,
my personal favorite on the album is El Scorcho, which I think sounds awesome in the way they did it. So.
In chiptune?
Yeah, chiptuned.
Very, very cool.
It is very cool.
Well, actually, I just realized that might not be my RoboCopper t-shirt. It might be, we ordered some fake candles that like are electric candles, like rechargeable electric candles for our sexy time.
As I said, no one's interested.
I'm interested because it's for sexy time.
I got new bedroom furniture.
For sexy time?
For everything.
Ooh. Yeah, you told us. Yeah. Real wood furniture.
Real wood furniture is awesome.
Real tomato ketchup bed?
Sam Raimi, director of the Evil Dead trilogy as well as the Spider-Man trilogy, and also the Quick and the Dead, the underrated Quick and the Dead, is directing the World of Warcraft movie.
Oh, boy. I cannot wait to watch the World of Warcraft movie.
Very interesting. Although, I mean, I guess if you took Army of Darkness and just changed the title to World of Warcraft the movie, I'd probably believe you if I had never seen the Army of Darkness movie before.
Yeah. Spider-Man 3 was pretty bad.
Spider-Man 3 was so bad it hurts. It hurts to talk about.
Well, the only real problem with Spider-Man 3, if you took out that whole part where he is, like, dancing and with the whole nightclub singing stuff, took out that whole section, would it still be bad?
Well, the problem is the character of Gwen Stacy was in the comic books for maybe 30 years.
Okay.
And was probably the other than Mary Jane and I guess Aunt May, one of the most important influences on Peter Parker's life and the character. In some ways, probably more important than Mary Jane.
Right.
So to take that character that has a lot of background and that adds many layers to the character and cut it down to a throwaway 10-minute role is insulting to the fan of the franchise.
But more insulting was Peter Parker walking down the street to Saturday Night Fever.
Yes, that was a little more insulting. So there was a lot in that where they just kind of spit in the face of the of the fans. So
that's what I liked about Watchmen was that they took it very seriously. There's no stupid dancing scenes. It was very, you know, if you're gonna make a comic book movie, you got to make it serious, unless it's, you know, supposed to be a comedy or something. But that's, you know, the last Batman movie, last two Batman movies.
Well, I think there's a fine line between serious and not serious. I wouldn't call the Iron Man movie serious, so to speak, but
there's jokes in it.
But that movie, but that movie is awesome.
Right, I hear you.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I would prefer to watch Iron Man than The Dark Knight. Just because Iron Man just kind of goes.
Right.
But I rewatched The Hulk, The Incredible Hulk, the Ed Norton Hulk movie.
How is that? I have yet to watch it.
Movie. I think that movie's a little underrated. I mean, it came out, you know, the same year as Iron Man and The Dark Knight, so it kind of got buried.
Right.
But for what it is, if you watch it away from all of that and you forget about the movie that came out before it, it's an enjoyable film. It's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely watchable and rewatchable. So, and it looks great on Blu-ray.
Cool. All right, yeah. What else we got, Wombat?
Let's see. We sort of talked about this already last week. How about a little, a couple of Twitter questions?
Okay.
Actually, these are more like, well, you know, there's a question. LFTie23 wants to know what our thoughts are on the 40th anniversary of man landing on the moon.
Don't care. I mean, it's great and all, but I didn't spend a second thinking about
it. Oh, see, I watched the whole Apollo special that was on the Gary Sinise narrative one on the Discovery Channel.
It was interesting.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it if it was on.
Yeah, you should find that. English, it's a good documentary. I should look up what it was called. It's narrated by Gary Sinise. It's all about the Apollo missions, 1 through 11. I think it's like 2 hours long. It was really good.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, you should check it out. Whenever they talk about Apollo 1, I get all misty. So it's worth checking out.
Tekonix wanted to know if we had opinions about the new Mech Warrior game that was just announced. Did you watch the trailer?
I did.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, it's back in the hands of the creator of the franchise, the tabletop.
And it's going to be on Xbox 360, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend going to Game Trailers and checking that out. I talk about my Mac Mini Media Center running Plex. They developed a plugin, an app for Game Trailers. So now I can watch all the Game Trailer shit in HD on my 42-inch television very easily, which is, and you know, stream the videos. It's pretty awesome. So I watched that. It did look very good. I like big robots shooting each other. So I am keeping my eye on Mech Warrior. Let's see, Wombat. Some CAG bag stuff. A bunch of stuff. Okay, so Miss Beetlebot says, "Hey, Cheapy, I just listened to CAGcast 97 again." Wow. All right. 97. "And you were saying that if you only own a Wii, you are not a hardcore gamer. Considering all the old school Nintendo games that you can download and play that essentially created the hardcore gamer, I was wondering if you feel the same way. Wombat, answer two, please. I don't remember what his response was. Love the show." I think what I meant there, and I didn't sort of mean to offend anybody.
Yeah, you did.
I sort of meant that you're not like your standard gamer who buys Madden every year. I didn't mean to say that you're not like a real gamer. There's no such thing as like a hardcore gamer or a real gamer. You know, for my personal tastes, I am not really a fan of the Wii and the games that come out for the Wii. And, you know, while I did play a ton of NES growing up and Super NES, I don't know. I have a hard time going back to those classic games. But that's not to take anything away from them or to say that if, you know, you like them, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, I mean, you can be somebody who all you play are, you know, browser games on your computer, and you can be a pretty hardcore gamer, I guess. I guess it's not a great idea to try to make up definitions for phrases like that. I know we always use them a lot, but maybe that's not such a great idea.
And I'm going to say that the Wii is for babies and losers.
And moms.
And moms.
Loser baby moms.
Loser baby moms that sit in their cribs all day and whine and drink from their bottles and keep their Wiimotes in their butt because it's warm.
Well, I do that.
As do I.
I use my Wii for that.
Yeah.
Frisky Tanuki says, "The news of EA's Madden 10 demo situation makes me question why the hell they're not offering the 20-minute demo to everyone, but just to those that pre-order to get the demo code. Shouldn't EA be pandering to those that don't buy the game every year and not to those that do?" I think what it really comes down to is basically a marketing campaign that EA and GameStop come out with, where in exchange for, I'm sure, money and the exclusive 20-minute demo for GameStop pre-orders, GameStop will promote the game in their flyers that they send out, in their email flyers, in in-store displays. It's a whole thing. I don't know if they're necessarily really just looking to attract a new audience with the demo. They're just, you know, there's a bigger picture here, and it's a marketing picture.
And a full demo is coming out for everybody, I think, this week or next
eventually.
Week, so.
I see. Let's see. Here's Tom's Cab says, "Here's a question for Wombat. Since I've started listening to so many game podcasts, I find I don't really read formal reviews anymore, mainly because I hear many various opinions and live arguments without the bullshit of scores and more talk about the game itself. Is this true for you also? Thanks, love the show, keep up the good work.
I do think that's true. I have been listening to a lot more people talk about games on other shows, like, you know, whether it be Player One or Giant Bomb or the Joystick Podcast. Just hearing them talk about games sometimes gives you, it does, because you can hear the emotion when they speak with it. It kind of gives you an idea on how they really feel about the game. And, you know, I think that's a good, another thing that's important about, you know, us talking about games on our show, that it really gets across our opinion much better than any way I could write a review, so.
Plus, a lot of the reviews are just so long, and they go into, like, such minutia. I always find, like, if I go on Game Trailers or something, just, you know, watch a video of it, you can sort of get a good idea. And, you know, and a quick check of the Metacritic score, just to see if it's not complete garbage. You know, if it's, you know, if it's a 6 or a 7, you know, 60 or 70, I mean, that can still be very good, a good game, a fun game. And that would not prevent me from checking it out. But if a game gets a 2 or, you know, a 20 or a 30, I'll probably skip it.
And another thing, just to I guess, talk full of ourselves for a minute here. I think that there, if you go to Metacritic, there's probably a handful of sites on there that get fewer readers per review than we get listeners to our show.
A handful, a big chunk.
Well, I was being democratic, but yes, a large chunk of those reviews are read by less people than people that actually hear us talk about games on our show. And it does bother me that our audio reviews, if we want to call them that, are considered to be less credible than a written review that less people have any interaction with.
Dude, we can make our own Metacritic score on CAG. We can do the same thing. We can compile review scores. It's not rocket science from other sites. And then we can have our own score.
My score...
Put that in.
I would score things in Panda Bears.
Panda Bears, okay.
Iron Man 2 Panda Bears. Out of
Cozinator says, Cheapy, last week you mentioned that True Blood is your favorite current show. I'm hooked on it too, and I couldn't figure out exactly why. Premise of the show with vampires and shapeshifters doesn't seem like my cup of tea, but Anna Paquin, despite being very hot, is an interesting actress to watch, and the entire show is cast incredibly well. Another standout being Nelson Ellis as the cross-dressing black southern drug dealer Lafayette. I think the actress' performances more than anything are what draw me into the show. Thoughts? Wombat, stay classy. Have you checked that out yet?
I don't have HBO.
No, rent the Blu-ray. It's out on Blu-ray.
I'm renting shit.
What?
I said, I'm not renting shit.
Why not?
Because I have enough crap in my house.
Oh, you suck. It's a great show. The last two episodes have been a little... They've been fine, but not that much has happened. But yes, Lafayette is awesome. And Anna Paquin's tits are pretty good, too.
There you go. A little boob action.
But it's a great show, though. It's definitely my favorite show. Let's see. Death by Kuvazis? Hey, Cheapy, I have a food question for you. Do you find that the Japanese versions of American restaurants, McDonald's and whatever else you have there, are better than those in the States? When I was stationed in Korea, I found that the food at Dunkin' Donuts, Wendy's, and Burger King were far superior. My belief from living here there is that Asians have a better work ethic and higher standards than we fat-ass lazy Americans, which in turn results in a better product. Yes, absolutely. McDonald's, I mean, when I go to McDonald's, which I try not to do that often, but I'm pretty weak, I get a quarter pounder with cheese, Wombat. And it's like a real hamburger. You know how when you get a hamburger from McDonald's, it's clearly a McDonald's hamburger. It doesn't really qualify as a hamburger on its own. It's like its own entity, its own category. This is like a real hamburger. Like, it's juicy. There's juice, Wombat.
Speaking of real hamburgers, we had like a good amount of food left over from the party. And yes. I put some of the ground meat in the freezer, but I couldn't really fit it all, so I had to put some in the fridge.
Yeah.
And it was already pressed into patties, and it was 8 patties. But because it was in the fridge just long enough where I kind of had to cook it now or just not cook it, I took the 8 patties and compressed it into 4.
Yeah.
And I ate them.
Why don't you take a picture of things like that?
I really should have. And although I did not eat all 4, I did have 2.5. And I got so sick.
I bet. I would have liked to see that picture alongside with you eating the giant lobster claw.
And it was like, it was, it looked like, remember the old Wendy's commercial with the Where's the Beef? With the giant bun and the little burger? It looked like the opposite of that. With just this bun? Huge meat cookie with this tiny little bun on it.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. And that was a home.
I also want to say that Domino's here is far superior. I mean, I would never order a Domino's pizza in America. Last time I had one, I think, was when I was in college. So, yeah, it's a long time ago. Here, it's like a real pizza. I mean, it's like, it's good. Like, I eat it. I'm like, this is good. I look forward to eating it. Fortunately, it's a lot more expensive here, but still.
I think we're questioned out.
Okay. Do you have any that you want to do, or are you...
I think we've answered most of the other ones that are left already.
No. Here's a question for you, Wombat. I know you like it when the questions are directed towards you. Daft Punk Fan 37 says, "Hey, Wombat, did you enjoy your trip to Boston enough to go to PAX 2010 East? It looks like PAX 2009 is shaping up to be sick, but they haven't said a peep about PAX East. Plus, you can make a ton of jokes at the expense of Cheapy, and he won't know about it."
Well, I've been to Boston. I've been to Boston like 4 or 5 times now. I love Boston.
Right.
I don't need an excuse to go to Boston. So, actually, I do plan on going to PAX 10 East because we have a lot of friends in the area and because we love Boston so much. So, yeah.
I would like to go, too. Maybe I would go, too. All of a sudden, I'm not allowed to go, so Wombat can make jokes at me and I won't hear about it.
I would be thrilled if you went. I could show you to all the good places I know to eat in Boston.
Excellent. Yeah.
And I could do the tasting menu at Radius.
Mmm.
And then get burgers at Eagle Deli. All
right.
And then get lobster tail pastries.
I want a 5-pound giant lobster.
You can get a 10, but you come to Long Island, we'll get a 10-pounder.
Maybe I will. Maybe we'll come to New York this summer instead of Vancouver.
That would be awesome.
Well, Wombat, I think this show has come to an end.
I agree.
I want to remind all of our listeners to check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/cheapyd. You can also get my Audio Boo stuff there if you follow me on Twitter. But you can go to Audio Boo FM. And usually my Audio Boo is like a little mini podcast that I pretty much do every day. Wombat would do it too if he had an iPod. You could do it on your wife's iPod Touch.
No, I can't because it's not. Well, I guess I could record it, but then getting it out would be a pain. Whatever.
Yeah, you just have to have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'd have to wait till I get home anyway.
Right, but it's easy to do. Usually, if you go to audioboo.fm and click on the popular boos, usually mine is on the first page there. I think there's a lot that aren't popular. That's why. Also, you get Wombat on Twitter, twitter.com/wombat5277, twitter.com/shipwreck for shipwreck. You can get CAG video game deals from twitter.com/video game deals. And if you're in the UK, it's UK game deals. And review us on iTunes because we like to see your reviews. You don't even need to write a review. You can just give us click on the number of stars. It's very easy. And that is all, Wombat.
Oh, you know who we should say we hate so we get a lot of listeners? You may want to put this in the show title. Will Wheaton.
We hate Will Wheaton?
Yeah, we hate Will Wheaton.
Why?
Because we want more listeners.
Oh, well, we need to think of a good reason.
Will Wheaton.
No, I know. He sucked on Star Trek. He was like the worst character.
He was the worst character in Star Trek. And he whined too much in Stand By Me.
No, he was good in Stand By Me.
I don't know.
I mean, he was terrible in Stand By Me.
He had a bloody sack. We hate Will Wheaton because of his bloody sack.
Wham, my sack is
bleeding. Oh, my sack is bleeding and my brother's dead and my parents hate me. Get over
Star
it.
Star Trek Nemesis was on TV this week.
So Will Wheaton sucks from everyone at Cheap Ass Gamer.
Yay. He's going to probably be at PAX. He's usually at PAX.
He shows up to all these things and he gets a lot of people to do what he says. So
yeah, why is that?
I don't know.
They really like Star Trek.
He has a lot of loyal fans. So I think if the show title is Will Wheaton Sucks, a lot of people, what are these? How dare they? And then they'll listen to the show.
It might work.
I think so.
I did see the Photoshop job of Star Trek. That what's the guy's name that did that?
I'll tell you in a sec. I want to say Slider Wave.
Silver?
I believe it's Slider Wave.
Slider Wave, that's it. That's definitely it. Yeah. It's cute.
They're awesome. Cute. Everyone he does is just ridiculous.
Right. Absolutely. All right, well, that's it for this week, everybody. We'll see you next week. I don't know, and I haven't asked her, but it's possible that Mrs. Chibi would come on the show and maybe do like a keg bag segment or something. I don't know. If you have questions for her, but maybe not. I don't know. If that's something you want, let us know in the show feedback. Hooray.
Hooray. Stay classy, San Diego.
Yep.
To turn World War II into a great home video game, you need B-17 Bomber and IntelliVoice. And every mission is filled with the sounds of battle. Never in the history of video games have so many owed so much great gameplay to so few. B-17 Bomber and IntelliVoice from Mattel Electronics.
Now get a free IntelliVoice module by mail when you buy any Intellivision Master component.